Mr. Clarkson, reel 18.
When this new order came, they were all looking forward to going home. And you could cut the atmosphere with a knife of a morning. They had another 6 months to do after making preparations for going home and meeting their wives and families and what they were going to do. Of a morning, you couldn't get a civil word out of anybody before 10 o'clock. And after that, it was, as soon as they got in the mess together, wasn't so bad on the upper deck when they were spread out of it, but as soon as they got in the mess together, they started arguing. It was just as if everybody were on edge. They were all fed up. They were cursing the Navy, the Admiralty and everybody else, and snarling at each other. It caused quite a lot of crime. Mm-hmm. Insubordination and that sort of thing. And for 6 months, we were what they call the key men who'd gone out 6 months before the ship paid off, and then we would come home 6 months before the ship paid off in the next commission, you see.
But this tension, this build-up of tension, does it make a man kind of hold back a bit from himself? So as to avoid maybe creating...
It makes him liable to explode any minute. And then you've only got to get an officer in charge of that particular department or that man's part of ship. You've only got to get him the same way, and he upsets everybody. Everything he says is wrong, and it does build up a mutinous state. It to run a ship, you've got to run it properly. You've got to have somebody who has got a great diplomatic way of doing things.
And under this circumstance where you have this tension building up, then men look for places to get away from it. They look for ways to step outside.
Yes, and as soon as the ship is in harbour, they'll go ashore at every opportunity just to get away from the sight of the ship and get away from the thoughts of all the arguments, living on top of each other all the time. That's a great call.
How much of a problem is this? I mean, the fact that we talked earlier there, just in a general way, about the fact that you have no space. Every man, I mean, you sit at your messroom table, as you say.
Yeah.
You have no elbow room.
No.
You couldn't all sit down together, for instance.
Now, they did, latterly, say, in the Royal Sovereign class of ship, that would be, in the 1919s, I suppose, after the war. Now, they had a recreation space, but that was overcrowded. And in these small cruisers, they had recreation spaces. But then you couldn't go up there. They'd probably have a piano or something there. Some amateur bandsman would be up there bashing away on that, just like in... When I was in the Dauntless, we had a crowd of cooks who formed a band, and they were right on top of us in this recreation space, day and night, blowing saxophones and bashing away on drums. You couldn't get away from the noise. Anyway, there's no such a thing as peace until pipe down at night.
Yeah. What about the fact that there's also, in a way, no such thing as privacy?
No, there's no privacy regarding bathrooms, if you like. They're all communal. No, there's no such thing as a bath, except a hip bath about 6 inches deep. The lavatories are just the same. They were the same as prison lavatories, where you can see a fellow's feet and you can see his head.
Yeah. But you actually had cubicles. You didn't have...
Oh, yes.
It wasn't a bench with holes cut in it. So
not always. On the fish garden, I'll talk about the fish guard there. I can remember that where this was the Chiefs and POs lavatory, where you sat in long rows and you'd sit there, was there 12 of you, of a morning. Now, of course, being in harbour, everybody had been ashore the night before. And
This is when you joined the Navy?
Oh, no, you used to go back there every time you left a ship.
Oh, it was carried on, in fact?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
it's still on the go now.
Yes, okay.
And you're sitting in rows there, and then there's a queue as well, standing facing you, waiting to have their go. And the only time you moved is every now and then when the water was let go, and you used to rush round. And it was just one lavatory with so many seats.
But the boys, all the men, all sat. You could chat to your mate, kind of thing. That sort of arrangement, was it?
Oh, no, you just had the 12 seats there.
12 years.
And they were... you're sitting closer than we are now.
Yeah.
You're only about a foot apart.
Yeah. But you had
No. Oh, no, you didn't have a partition or anything between you. No, was...
What it has, in fact, is like a long plank.
That's right, yes.
With holes cut
in. With holes in it, yeah.
And the chaps sit, sit and natter away to you. How do men feel about it? I mean, did that shock you? Did that kind of thing make you...
You can get used to everything. Nobody liked it, but it was the best you could get then. We went to a place once in South America. It would be the Chilean Portsmouth, if you like. And when we arrived there, there was a general strike on. And so we were leaking badly, and we had to go into dry dock. Well, the Chileans always recognised this country as their mother country, and they agreed to work on our ship to repair it. But that meant we'd been in dry dock. We had to use the shore lavatories. And our captain went ashore to have a look at them, and they were so disgraceful, dirty, and that sort of thing, that he refused to let us use them. And he said, you'll have to build some more under the forecastle. And that was what we had there, a long row of holes, and we all sat up there in the open. Yes. And on another occasion, when I was in the Red Sea, on the Suva, we had a bucket. We only had 3 toilets for all the ship's company. And then for a long time, well, for a week, 10 days, we were carrying Turkish prisoners. And they lived on top of our mess deck with 4 machine guns trained on them up top, but they had to use our 3 toilets. The result was everybody had a bucket each that they bought to do their washing in. And we used that bucket as a lavatory as well. You can get used to these things, and actually I suppose it was a clean way. As long as we got enough water to wash the buckets out,
That was all. Could you always get enough water to do that? Could you always get enough to keep it hygienic and from the start?
Not always, no. The routine there was to, as I say, normally we were lucky because we carried enough water to supply Lawrence's followers were when they were there. And we used to get water. We had no bathroom, little place canvased off, and you'd just wore a vest and a pair of shorts. Yeah. And in the evening, after tea, if you weren't on watch, you went up, got your bucket of water, you bathed yourself in it, then you washed your shift in it, put on a clean one, and hung the other up to dry, and that was the daily routine.
Yeah. Do you think the Navy took enough care of its people in regard to domestic facilities like washing and things. Do you think it really did?
I don't think it did, no.
Could they have done more even then than they were doing?
I mean, they could have had bathrooms, even if they were communal. But they didn't even worry about that. It was get on the upper deck with a bucket and
That's interesting, actually. Do you think that as someone who's, like yourself, been in the prison service, and you've got this business of slops,
yes,
as you well know, do you think these kind of duties have any effect on men? Do you think that they, you know, the men see them in certain ways or read into them anything? Do you ever do yourself?
Well, morally, you mean?
Morally, or as a way of...
Yes, it...
kind of punishment, a kind of humiliation, if you like. Does that...
It was humiliation. That was... apart from that, there were such times as... I suppose you've heard of such things as crabs.
Yes.
And what's the other thing that you... through dirt. Anyhow, we'll put it this way. In the Navy, if you went sick, or if you were going to a ship and you had to pass the doctor, if you went sick, the first thing the doctor asked you was when you were with a woman last. And everything was supposed to be... you were humiliated in that way when you went to pass the doctor. You were all lined up in the medical inspection room, and then you were told to drop your trousers, lift your arms up, and the doctor would sit there with a cigar on his mouth and a torch and look at you. Next one, you were just like cattle. Now, on one occasion, a youngster in my mess came to me and said, I was the senior hand of the mess then, when I was 18. He said, I think I've got crabs. Oh, I said, let's have a look. And I did, and I said, you have, son. Now go up and see the doctor. A lot of people won't go to the doctor because you get treated as if you'd committed a crime. He went to the doctor, and the following day in a skylark, I said, when I was having my evening bath in the mess, I said, I wonder if I've got them. I'd look, and I had. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, we'll have to have an inspection, which he did. And he found everybody had them. And so he got all our bedding. It was in the bedding where our hammocks were lashed up, and we weren't using them because the weather was so hot. But he had them all laid out on the upper deck, and he sprayed them. Apart from that, all of us who had these crabs had to be shaved off. And so, as you shaved the legs of the man in front, so the fella behind was shaving yours. Now, that this system, this crab system, they used to use what they called crab fat, and that's why they call the grey paint in the Navy crab fat. And this was horrible stuff, and it absolutely wrecked your clothing, your underclothing. You had to rub this in, and then normally, if it was a few isolated cases, they used to make them string their hammocks right up near the lavatories, the heads, as they call them. Isolated they were, untouchables. Now, apart from that, this treatment that they gave you, years afterwards, we found out that there was much easier treatment to be got without all this paraphernalia and this dirty, disgusting ointment and shape.